This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
To Sports Talk 870, I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, we're going to talk some football today. As you know, we're not too far away from the opening of training camps in the NFL. So let's bring in our good friend Dave Burkett, who's down there getting ready for the Lions camp. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good, Earl. I can't believe it. You're right. We're only, God, 5 weeks away from the open of training camp. It's just, things fly by in the NFL.
Yes, it does. I mean, it's funny. It's just so close to college and foot. You know, college and pros. They're just so closely aligned, even though they're not really aligned. But they're very close. And if you will follow one, you might as well follow the other one.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, from a Lions standpoint, look, wrapped up minicamp last week. Relatively quiet since the Memorial Day weekend arrest of Nick Fairley. And let's hope it stays that way, because I got some vacation planned. Last thing I want to do is come back from another vacation or work while I'm on another vacation, I should say.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because, yeah, we don't like to do that. But, boy, it's funny how in the off season, I say that's the most worrisome time for coaches, whether you're a pro or a college coach, because that's when your players get in the most trouble is in the off season.
Well, you look at it, Mikel was sure both of his marijuana busts this offseason came when he was back home or driving, I guess, to and from, Illinois and Michigan. And both of Nick Fairley's arrests came when he was back home in Mobile, Alabama. Johnny Culver's, too, when he was in South Carolina. So, obviously, the more time away from the facility, the better the chance that the players can get in trouble. But, like I said, I think the Lions, Jim Schwartz has addressed all these issues internally. He's chosen mostly to keep them that way. From a team standpoint, Nate Burleson said last week that him and some of the other vets broke down the huddles at the end of minicamp practices with reminders to, what the Lions have going that's good and to make sure people stay on the straight path in their time away from the team. So hopefully these messages have sunk in.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, Dave, sometimes I wonder, do we do enough either on college or the pros to make sure that, you can only do so much that players don't get in trouble when they go home and such. It seems like they're always getting into trouble during this downtime. But I don't know if there's anything you can really do to help prevent that, or maybe for guys to be more accountable of themselves.
I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day, Earl. I mean, you're in the NFL, you're a grown man, you're an adult. It's kind of on you to make sure that you do right, that you steer clear of trouble, that you're surrounding yourself with the right people. The NFL teams, they can have all the programs that they want. Veterans can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, it's a personal choice, and I think these guys have to make smarter ones.
Yes, that's for sure. Hey, well, what do you see for the Lions? Is Ryan Broyles going to be healthy by the time training camps get here?
That's a good one. I'm not sure if he's going to be healthy or not. I actually asked Martin Mayhew that last week, whether, if he knew who was going to start the season on pup list. Training camp on pup list, and Broyles is obviously one possibility. Martin said it's too early to tell, and I think he's a guy that he didn't really do anything in mini camp. I mean, he did the individual drills, but during team drills, he was working off on the side on his own at a slower pace for part of it, and then he'd just go in and ice the knee, and he's still in the rehab mode. So I think the Lions are okay. They don't need him right off the bat. I don't think there's any reason to rush him onto the field. I'd be a little bit surprised if he was practicing that first training camp practice. I think they might want to take it a little bit slower with him. But having said that, he's a great talent, and the Lions will be sure to get the most out of him once they do activate him.
Yeah, and what about Mikel LeSueur and Javid Best? How do you foresee them? You think they're going to be ready for training camp and ready to go?
Yeah, Javid should. I mean, he's a guy that, he hasn't been cleared yet for contact, but I think that's just a matter of time. I mean, it's just he looked good in training camp or mini camp. He said he's worked out a little bit to kind of strengthen his neck, some of those muscles around there to hopefully help stave off any more concussions. So, you know, I think he's a guy that he's going to start the season as the Lions' number one running back. And he might not get 20, 25 carries like running backs of old would get, but he's going to get a lot of touches, and the Lions are going to use him in the right way. And LeSure is going to be suspended for the first two games of the season, yeah. So the Lions can take their time with him in training camp. But they're going to want to get him on the field at some point in those preseason games so he can get a few carries under his belt, take a few shots before the real things get going.
Yes, so that's going to be tough for them. But, you know, they've got, as we say, we keep saying, they've got a good nucleus of receivers, tight ends, running backs. It looks like they've got everything in place to be able to make another run for the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the Lions returning all but one of their starters from last year and having a pretty good young nucleus, you'd expect them to contend for a playoff berth. But I've said this to everybody I've talked to, Earl. I mean, not saying it's not going to happen, but you look across the NFC, the Packers still the favorites to win the NFC North. The Bears are better. 49ers good. You know, in the East, you got the Giants, the defending Super Bowl champs, the Cowboys, the Eagles. They could all make the playoffs. The NFC South is loaded. You know, there's no sure thing that the Lions are going to make the playoffs this year. They can't afford to have any key injuries. They can't afford to have, you know, to lose any games that they shouldn't. They did a real good job of that last year, beating all the teams that they should on their schedule. So I think it's only time is going to tell if they're going to be able to make the playoffs or not.
Yes, and I guess the other thing, I guess, you know, we'll have to wait and see if they, and hopefully they won't have to use the reserves that much, but to see what are the quality of the reserves they have. Will they be able to step in for when injuries happen and where there won't be too much of a drop-off?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're deeper this year, and that's a good thing. You know, the draft, you look at the draft, really the last 2 years, it's been backups, you know, and they haven't drafted any of those guys to be immediate starters, and even this year, you know, Titus Young could start. He could be the number. He could supplant Nate Burleson as a number two receiver. That's not inconceivable. But Nick Fairley's still going to be a backup. You know, LeSure is going to be a backup running back to start. You know, this year, I mean, Riley Reiff, maybe he starts. But really, he, you know, you have both starting tackles back, so he could be your sixth offensive lineman. You know, Broyles is your, you know, three or four receiver. And you know, Bill Bentley, I mean, he's going to see the field plenty of time, the third-round cornerback that they took. But right now your starters are Chris Houston and Aaron Berry. So the Lions have done a good job, you know, bolstering the back end of their roster in recent years, and actually wrote a little something for tomorrow's paper, Earl, just highlighting three little position battles that they're going to have in training camp because they really do have the deepest roster since Martin Mayhew's taken over as general manager, and they're going to have some decisions to make.
Yes. Now, what about Louis Delmas? You know, we haven't been able to see him because they had so many injuries these past few years. How is he coming forth? And I think they expect him to start and have a really good year, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously a real talented player, but you mentioned that the injuries, that's the one thing that's kind of been a knock on him, even, you know, ever since coming out of college. I remember, I think I shared this story with you before. I was talking to a scout one time. This was after the Lions drafted him, and the scout just – and we were just talking about the Lions draft, and he said, man, I really like that Delmas kid. You know, he's going to be a good player, but he kind of reminds me a lot of Bob Sanders, just the way that he plays, so physical, he's always going to be hurt. And that's played out so far in his career. He's taken a lot of pounding, missed a lot of time last year with a knee injury, missed some time in minicamp with a sprained ankle. That's not it's not a big deal at all, but you know, I think this is going to be a big year for him. He's going into a contract year, and the Lions, he's really the leader of that secondary. So the Lions are going to be better on that back end. They need him to lead the way.
Okay, got a caller for you. We got Victor from Lions. Victor, how you doing?
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good, Victor, how you doing?
You know, I've never read your column because I'm blind and I can't actually get the paper and stuff like that, but I've heard you on different broadcasts. You should be a broadcaster, man, because you're good. Hi, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
I'm coming for your job, Earl.
Okay, you can have it, because I'm getting out of here soon, so I'll let you take it.
look, I'm an athlete. Well, I used to be an athlete. Like, I wrestled in high school and stuff like that. Like, oh, yeah, like, I don't care whether you're a wrestler or a football player or whatever. Yeah, how you conduct yourself off the field is important, you know? It's all about discipline.
I agree, and I think the Lions are, you know, when it comes to LeSure and Fairley, you know, the talented guys get lots of chances, but these guys, because they have two strikes against them in the NFL's drug program, You know, they're down to one of their final chances each. I mean, you know, a third strike,
okay,
they're going to get a lot
okay,
longer.
Okay, Dave, with all respect, okay, you know, you make a mistake once, but if you make the same mistake a second time, you know, shame on you. You know, it's like, what is the accountability for the player? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I think the Lions
check yourself
that very
at
well.
The door, man. If you want to be a successful athlete, you got to do what you got to do it. You know, and if you can't do it, then you ain't got no business being in the business.
Yeah, Earl, the one thing I would say is that, you know, talent got chances, and that's kind of the, you know, especially in the NFL where it's a win business, and there's got to be a fine line there. I mean, you can't have a bunch of bad apples in the locker room, and I think the Lions don't for the most part, you know, having been around the locker room, and even LeSure and Fairley. I mean, I would be lying if I said I knew these guys real well, but you know, maybe they've made some young mistakes. Maybe they have some bad habits that they're sorting through. Maybe it's just, you know, friends that they're around that they need to rid themselves of. But the impression that I've got from talking to both those guys is that neither one of those guys is a bad person at his core. And I think that's why part of the reason why the Lions are still, you know, willing to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. And the other thing, obviously, is that they're both very talented players and they can help the Lions on the field this year. But having said that, you know, availability is as important as ability in a lot of ways. And when you keep running into trouble off the field, you're putting your availability at risk. And that's something that the Lions can't afford to have happen with these guys anymore. And these guys know it. That's why I say they're just about out of chances, because the next time they get into some trouble, they're going to be facing a lot longer suspension than the two-game suspension LeSure got last week.
Yes, I mean, they could find themselves being like Charles Rogers, who had the world by the tail, and he just couldn't get rid of those drugs problems that he's had. And that happens with so many athletes. They get it, like you say, Dave, they get into trouble one time, and then they get in trouble a second time. Well, we can't keep bailing them out. I mean, sooner or later, they've got to be held accountable.
Yeah, that's right. And you bring up a good point with Charles Rogers. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, Michigan State fans, Lions fans, I mean, even back to high school, you know, people around the state of Michigan have seen, you know, their entire lives, really. And it's pretty sad when you look at, you know, kind of what he's become now. He's spending time in jail and seems like he's in the headlines for the wrong reasons every other week. And I think that's something that's a cautionary tale. The Lions have seen that firsthand. And I think that's why when you look at the draft and what the Lions did this year, you didn't see them take many character risks. You know, they took guys that were talented guys, you know, a guy like Riley Reiff, but guys without much you know, negative in their background, and guys that they can foresee being stalwarts on the team for the next 6, 8, 10 years.
Yep, that's for sure. Hey, Dave, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And yeah, we can debate the Lions go on and on, and hopefully, that's the only thing we can say right now, hopefully those guys will, and like with Victor saying, hopefully they'll realize they've got a great opportunity and not to blow it by doing something stupid. Hopefully they won't mess up as we've seen them do in the past. And like you say, two strikes, three strikes, you're out, and they're already at two strikes, and hopefully they've got enough sense to realize you can't do it again.
Hopefully it's a quiet offseason for my sake, and I'm sure it'll be a good fall, an interesting fall at the very least. So.
Okay. Hey, Dave, well, I'll talk to you a little bit later on in the fall. We'll talk. We'll even squeeze in a little Michigan State talk and a little Lions talk together.
All right, Earl. Sounds
okay.
Good.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Dave Burkett from the Detroit Free Press. The time now, 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
A showdown between the Attorney General and Congress over Fast and Furious. The president swings first on immigration as both he and Romney reach out to Latino voters. And New York's Charlie Rangel faces the fight of his political life. I'm Neil Conan. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Sunny and breezy, and one more hot day with a high in the mid-90s. Mostly clear with a low of 72 tonight. Tomorrow a little cooler, the high 85. Partly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Cooler still Friday, mostly sunny, the high 78.
and give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Well, let's bring in our good friend Steve Morgan to talk a little bit of health and physical fitness today. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, Earl. You knew I would be with the weather being the way it
is.
Yep,
it is.
Just fine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and, you know, we mentioned last week we got to talk a little bit more. We haven't done much talking on the weights in the past few weeks. So we want to focus a little bit more on weight training because that's a key integral part of your working out and what you're doing. So we got to tell people just, you know, if they're starting it or if they're entering it. So, you know, like basically, if you've been a long time lifter for but you've laid off for a while, I guess what should you do? Where should you start at if you're starting just trying to get back to where you used to be?
Start off with modified body weight activity. That's the best way to go. That's the best way to go. Such as start out with a push up, a simple push up. If you have to start on your knees, go ahead and begin on your knees. And from there, progress to going to a regular push-up. If you can't do a chin-up, then start by hanging a bar off of the squat rack where you can do a horizontal pull-up. These things, body weight, a simple one-legged squat or a wall squat first that will lead into a one-legged squat eventually. These are things that can be done at the home. And they're just simple body weight activities that just have to be modified. And as you get stronger, you just intensify it a bit.
Yeah, okay. And what about for those folks who are just starting for the first time and they really don't know what to do?
Well, at that point, Earl, you know, you can either go get somebody to show you or you can try the Internet. But, you know, we've talked about it before. I mean, if you're not familiar with those exercises, those are the only mediums that I know that you can actually get some help. And it would be to your benefit, definitely, in terms of starting off on the right foot to hopefully avoiding, you know, injuries from doing things incorrectly over and over again, what we call repetitive use injuries, tendonitis, bursitis, these types of things that can be avoided if you just get some help in the beginning and get the proper instruction.
Oh, yes, that's very valuable. Steve, what about for those folks, you know, yes, they know how, but for example, I mean, there's got to be some folks out there that don't have the proper technique. They still try to lift, as you know, but they just don't have the proper technique for doing it.
That's correct. That's what at that point, you need to seek out some instruction. You know, once again, either on the Internet or you can do it, by listening to a trainer. There are many out there now, or once again, you can go to a class, something to that nature that will help you with your technique, and then you can be on your way.
Okay, and give us a call. We're talking with Steve Morgan, talking health and physical fitness, and we cover a lot of the aspects from the dietary portion of basically watch what you eat, and that's the main thing when I talk with people, Steve. So many, they just want to know. They got this belly, like one friend, he doesn't know how to go about getting rid of it. See, well, yeah, you just got to watch what you eat. I mean, you know, that's no secret, but you know, you don't have to be on a strict diet or anything, but you got to be careful and just be aware of what you're putting in your body.
Well, the strength training will help with that a lot, Earl. If you can begin a program of strength whereby you're doing some light body weight activities, it helps to regulate glycogen and glucose in the body. It helps with, otherwise people refer to as blood sugar. Strength training aids in developing more lean body mass on the body, which helps with controlling metabolic variances that go along with getting a little bit older and a little bit more sedentary. Strength training is really the fountain of youth, and I've said it on the show for years, and I've been telling people for years, and the studies keep coming out to you know, slowly but surely confirming that. But while they're studying it, we're doing it.
Well, you know, the other question, Steve, we've talked about this one too. So why do so many people want that shortcut? They know that shortcut probably doesn't work, but everybody seems to be wanting that shortcut. They want to lose 30 or 40 pounds, you know, in a couple of days and like that. And they didn't gain it in a couple of days, but they all expect to be able to lose it in a few days. So why are we so hung up on trying to get things, get to these shortcuts, even though we realize, even though we may not admit it, that it didn't take us no shortcut to get there?
Well, I mean, with regards to strength training, I mean, here again, you know, it's something that we see all the time. People want to come in and put a lot of weight on the bar or just, you know, skip a few exercises. They only have 30 minutes, so they just get two exercises out of their 10 station circuit and think that that's going to be good enough. And, you know, it just depends on what your expectations are from the actual fitness program that you undertake. You know, if your expectations are short and you want to get something done now, you're really setting yourself up for failure. If your expectations are reasonable and you want to just, you know, go 4 weeks at a time and keep tracking and monitor what you're doing and get really kind of professional about it, you're going to be very happy with what fitness can give you.
Yes, and that's what we encourage. We want people to just take their time and do it right. You know, don't have any things you're trying to get done and you know, get in a hurry and things. But you know, unfortunately, we know a lot of people won't do it that way. They just want to get there as quick as they can. Hey, give us a call. Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Steve Morgan is with us, and we'll talk with Steve about various things going on in the world. Let me see, Steve. I got a question here. Let me bring it up. From a couple of days ago, someone sent in a question. Let me see if hopefully I can bring it up here. Here it is. As soon as it comes up. Okay, yeah. I have not listened to the program for a while. What are you doing? Going to have Steve on, which is today, of course. Did you attend? Did you attend the Lansing Catholic Central High School baseball state championship? Unfortunately, they lost, but the team had an outstanding season. So I guess hopefully Greg is out there listening to you, but I guess he wanted some information. Not sure what, or hopefully he'll call. Oh, maybe this is him. We got a caller coming in now. Mike from Lansing. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing today?
Okay.
Do we have Steve still on there?
Yep.
Well, I got a question that started my workouts in January, and so far I'm down 50 at that point in time.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm just kind of watching what I eat and, you know, just exercising that Planet Fitness all the time. But still got that little tire around the gut there. Been doing some setups. Is there anything more that I can do to kind of help eliminate that a little better?
Yeah, it helps a lot if you can start to cut out a little bit more sugar in the diet. Any excess saturated fat, because what you seem to be talking about is the last little bit that you got to go there. And unfortunately, that's going to be the most stubborn part about it. And that means you have to get stricter towards the end of the diet. You can make a few mistakes in the middle of the diet, but towards the end, when you really want to get that thing to go, you got to watch your sugars, watch your dairy, these things that are commonly stored as fat. In the body, and excess in the body, and that goes directly to adipose tissue. So I would do that, and then I would try to take a different class if you're at Planet Fitness or something to that effect, one of those ab blasting classes to get you a little variety and have a few and train from a different angle and different type of fatigue within the core and get you some variety there.
Okay.
Sounds
good.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Hey.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. And Steve, what when we talk about, you know, like that's a good point. You know, he's in the middle. He wants to, say, finish on a strong note. Many people will get to that point. You know, they want to finish it off and finish it off on a strong note. And hopefully they'll do it that way. I mean, you gave him some good advice. But is that pretty good or pretty applicable for everyone? Or does everyone have to seek something that will be more tailored to them personally?
I mean, it's a good piece of general safe advice. Is that you know, barring any medical pre-existing conditions that the individual has, you know, if you're dieting and you're losing, you know, 20 to 35 pounds or so, that last little bit of 5 to 10 pounds, and then also there's going to be skin in there, and that's where the strength training comes in. is that the strength training, will, by building muscle in there, will help to draw up the epidermal layer of skin a little bit and pull it a little bit tighter as you replace, and not literally replacing fat with muscle, but figuratively speaking, I mean, you're actually developing muscle, but it's not adipose tissue. It's not adipose tissue that's turning into fiber. Okay, because people mistake that all the time. They think that all of a sudden the guy got muscular, and that fat just turned to muscle. That's not true. What happens is the fat goes away, you build up muscle underneath, and now that's what you see. So in order to do that, you really got to do some strength training. And that's the safest way to go about it. Surgery is not a good route. Fad diets is not a good route. The best way is some good old-fashioned strength training.
And just do it on a regular basis, a moderate basis. They don't have to delve into it, head first. But be cautious and start out a safe approach for you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's one day or 2 days a week, I would suggest nothing less than 2 days per week, and just very not very, but suggest a good level, a beginner level. And like I said, modified body weight activity, you can't get any better than that. Unless you have access to some selectorized machines or access to a facility, and at which point in time some of the other machines can counterbalance your weight. And therefore, you can do some good strength activity as well. But, we talk about it often on the show, Earl, and, you know, it's really worth it if you can, you know, dig deep into the pocketbook and pay for one good session with a strength coach or a trainer, and they will get you the exercises. They will get you on your way. You can go ahead and begin to try some things and just be smart with it. And I think you'll be happy with the results.
Hey, Steve, how about as much how much time should people put on emphasizing free weights? I know we've had bar weights. We've had that before. It's been a long time. But about the difference between free weights and the bar weights, and should people be more into doing the weights on free weights or bars, or does it make a difference?
Hold on a second. What do you mean, free weights or bar weights?
Yeah, just the single dumbbells like that, or do you know on the long bar?
Yeah, because that's all free weights, Earl. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mr. Robinson here. Never now. A barbell, a dumbbell, a kettlebell. That's all free weight. Mm-hmm. It's all free weight. The machines are called selectorized machines, or some people call them stackables. Or even Nautilus, but Nautilus is just because they were first. But those machines are selector-wise, and that's where you can just sit in there if you don't have a lot of strength, and you can start to move something in a productive manner without trying to hold your body weight because you're so weak to begin with. So that helps to help somewhat isolate that area. But there's really no such thing as isolation of a muscle area without strapping something down. And even then, the other one's going to be an agonist that's trying to move back. So, but in terms of time spent, there's no particular time. I mean, anywhere between 20 to 30 minutes. You know, I mean, once again, it depends on what the individual is looking to do, Earl. There's a number of different exercises that can be integrated into a dumbbell program, and same as with a barbell program. So, one's not any better than the other. Sometimes the dumbbell is a little bit more convenient because you don't have a lot of space, but, one's not any better than the other.
Hey, Steve, what about for guys? And I was thinking about that because there's a very old, a much older gentleman who goes to the gym where I go to, and he works out regularly. Is there a time in your life when it's time to start cutting back on what you're doing, or should you do just basically a continuation no matter how far you get? Do you want to keep that going, or do you have to start cutting back gradually?
No, and that's another misconception. And that's why the gentlemen out there that are listening that are rushing to soy-based protein products, you know, those products have a lot of estrogen. And also what happens is when you're talking about reducing the volume of work that you're doing as you age, you're actually reducing the amount of testosterone that you produce. And that's where the tie-in between the soy protein and guys trying to lose belly fat, but they're actually going to be gaining more belly fat by eating the soy-based products, and also by reducing. It's not about reducing. The body operates under stress, under intensity, and it operates very well and very efficiently if we handle it and we produce the program necessary for it to progress over a given period of time.
Okay, got a caller for you. We got John from Holt. John, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, I was just going to ask Mr. Morgan if he's heard of the guy that's going to speak at Playmaker tonight. I think his name is Scott Jurek.
What's his name, Scott?
Scott Jurek, J-U-R-E-K. He's an ultra-marathoner.
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with that. I'm not in those circles. Sorry.
Yeah, but a very interesting speaker. I don't know if you're in the area, but if he's going to speak at Playmaker tonight at 8 o'clock, he's going to do a run with anyone in the community that wants to go out and run with him from 7 to 8, and after that he's giving a talk. And he has a new book out, and he's going to do an autograph signing and a presentation at 8 o'clock tonight at Playmakers on the Grand River in Okemos.
For anyone out there
that's interested. Now, I've been running myself here for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I know Earl is an avid runner here. I don't know if you're still running, Earl, but I know you used to be an avid runner.
Yeah, used to be. That's the proper phrase.
Yeah, I ran a 5K on Saturday at the Common Chase out there in Grand Ledge, man. And I was just going to remind people how important it is to hydrate yourself if you're running in this very, very hot weather, both before and after you run, and also during if you're going to go for long distances.
Oh, so true. People really have to be reminded about getting enough hydration. So many people, and it's surprising that so many people, don't drink as much as they should in weather like this. I think a lot of guys, they think that they're being tough and they're toughing themselves out, even though they call themselves being tough. But that's what a lot of guys do, I know.
Well, I mean, the other thing, Earl, is when you get going, mm-hmm. and the heat starts to basically deplete you. You lose your appetite, and you lose the thirst mechanism depreciates. And so you don't really want to consume things, even though you should. And so we've talked about it on the show several times, but I remind people to weigh yourself prior to activity and weigh yourself after activity. And for every pound that you lose, you need 2 cups of fluid. Not just water, 2 cups of fluid, so you can replace also the electrolytes that were also depleted. And if you continue to just drink water, there's a thing called hypernatremia. We spoke about it on the show, and where it's basically oversaturation of cells, and you basically further dilute the existing electrolyte that hasn't already been depleted. So it's a very dangerous condition.
Can I ask you a question? What is the right balance of, a liquid like Gatorade and water when you are running distances, like, say, 3 to 4 miles? I'm not sure what the combination of water to Gatorade and that type of beverage is, the right amount to drink in this type of water. What would you recommend?
It's a good formula, and it's on the Gatorade Sports Institute website.
Okay.
And just go to the hydration part there.
Okay, because I drink both.
And then you can figure it out based on your weight. I'm sorry, on your weight. It's all based on kilograms and exposure time. Mm-hmm.
Great, that sounds great. Thank you very much for the information.
Yeah, the best thing to do before you go is just go ahead and take and just weigh yourself first. Okay. And then see how much you dissipate, how much weight you actually lose, fluid weight you lose. Okay. And then see how long it takes for you to replace that. If 2 cups doesn't do it for you, then try some more. And then you'll start to understand how much your body is burning versus as you get in shape type of thing. And then you can figure it out better that way.
I drink water before I run. I also take a water bottle with me while I run, and then I also drink a lot of water when I get back from the run. So,
well, where are you getting your electrolytes?
I drink Gatorade also when I get back from the run. So,
okay, try to have a piece of fruit or something, an orange slice or something like that somewhere down the line. Something that can put some
bananas are also good for you as well, right?
Sure. And you don't have to eat much. Just to get a little bit in your bloodstream while you're going on. I think you'll feel great during the run as well.
Yeah, the potassium is important to replace, too, in this type of weather, right?
Yep. Your electrolytes are as follows. Potassium, magnesium, sodium, and calcium.
Okay.
Those are your 4 positively charged electrolytes that have to be kept in balance, or you'll begin to cramp, heat exhaustion will set in. You'll have spastic activity at the muscles. And basically, you won't be able to continue very well.
Hey, thanks a lot for the information. Very helpful. I appreciate you taking my call today. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, John. And Steve, hey, it's been a pleasure, as always, talking with you each and every day, or once a week. And we'll be back and talk with you again next week, buddy.
Okay, Earl. Take care out there, and don't forget to get your training in now.
Okie dokie. Hey, thanks, Steve.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking sports with us right here on AM 870, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Iran insists it won't blink first in nuclear talks that President Obama called Tehran's last chance at the negotiating table. Tough new sanctions take effect next month, while Israel and the United States continue to insist that all options remain on the table. I'm Neil Cohn. The next steps on Iran, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Sunny and breezy with a high of 94 degrees today. Tonight, our low 72 and mostly clear. Partly sunny Thursday, a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Not as hot, the high 85. Mostly sunny and a high of 78 expected for Friday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, it looks like at this present time, Aaron, it looks like the Miami Heat are getting on the verge of winning the championship of the NBA. They took a 3-1 lead last night. Sort of thought that maybe Oklahoma would win it. And now they're in that position where they've got to win the next two games. I mean, they got to win tonight to get back to Oklahoma City. So if they don't win, tomorrow night, if they don't win that game tomorrow night, then they're in big trouble because it'll be over. So they've got to win tomorrow night to continue this series on for at least one more day.
Yeah, and even if they do, frankly, I think this series is just pretty much over. I mean, even when, if anyone watched the game, caught the game last night, I mean, you know, LeBron went out for a little bit because, it was a hamstring or something related like that.
Cramps.
I mean, even when he went out, Oklahoma couldn't pull it out. Miami there at the end kind of pulled it out, obviously. But even with, I think Westbrook had 43 points,
yes.
You know, he had that for him. That was an amazing game. But, it still wasn't enough. But frankly, I think the series is over. The odds of them coming, winning three straight. I'm sure the statistics aren't pretty good on that. The odds there. So, even if they win the next game, I still think Miami just wins the series. Like I said before, I think LeBron is he's just too determined. He knows what it takes. It's not like he hasn't been here before.
Right.
I mean, obviously he's been on the losing end each time, but he understands, the patience and what it really takes to win a championship. So, I think they win this series, no problem. However, I will say I think Miami wins the next game at home. I don't think it goes back to Oklahoma. Nope. I don't think they want to take that trip back to Oklahoma. So I think they pull it out at home, which I think would be great to see. I mean, you want to see championships won at home. Now, winning it on the road, it's fine, but it's just not the same when you got your home crowd in front of you.
Yes, I know. Winning on the road, what you really want to do is keep the other team from cheering. Just keep them sitting there silent. They have to sit through a game and not cheer. So, that's what happens if you win on the road. If you can close it out, it's so difficult to do. I mean, you can do it, but it's a very difficult thing to do. Is close out a team, especially a team that's trailing 3-1. We've seen teams in other sports come back to win a championship, but down 3-1 hasn't happened too much. It hasn't ever happened in basketball where you've been down 3-1 and the other team came back and won three straight. So we'll have to look forward to that. But boy, this has been a good series. I mean, every game has been tightly contested. They've been either been settled in the last minute or in the last 20 to 30 seconds. But most games are settled as you look at it in the last minute of play in regulation, which has been very good for basketball and very good for the NBA.
Right, exactly. I mean, you don't want blowouts in the championships, so. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're kind of going down to the wire, I mean, it makes it exciting, that's for sure. I mean, I think college basketball is known for that. You know, come March Madness, it's always usually down sometimes. It's funny how almost a lot, I'm sure there's a statistic somewhere about how many games actually end, you know, on the last shot, have a chance, you know, to win it, tie it, or whatever the case is. And yeah, I mean, the fact that it's happening in the NBA too, that it's coming down to the wire like that is great to see. And just to add to the game from last night, I mean, if you look at LeBron's stats, he had 12 assists. And, I mean, if you're looking at the other players, you had Chalmers, who had 25 points. You had Wade, who had 25 points. Bosch had 13. LeBron had 26. And then, you know, Battier had 4. But even off the bench, he had, Cole that had eight points. So, I mean, the fact that LeBron had 12 assists, I think, is, you know, as you pointed out numerous times, you know, he's a great team player. He knows when to pass the ball. And the fact that he had 12 assists, I think, was no understatement last night. And it goes to show that, you know, there no one stood out. He didn't. It's not like he had 40 points or something. Everyone kind of had, you know, their big dogs had the most points, which is kind of, you know, that's going to win you a lot of games there.
You know, I looked back and I thought, you know, we had Rondo had the 44-point game in the Celtics-Miami series, and they lost that game. And then Westbrook had the 40-point game last night, and then they lost. I mean, two guys who had the high score for their team, the team lost in both those instances. Because basically, you know, you have to spread the ball around. You have to get your teammates involved. You know, it's not a one-man game. So many people think when one guy scores well, oh, that's the game, we're going to win it because you have that one guy scoring well. Well, he needs help. He can't be. I mean, Rondo went down and scored 11 straight times there in the fourth quarter. That was pretty special. But, you know, you've got to have more than just one guy doing all the scoring. That's why I say the game it's a good game when it's played the right way. But so many guys have to play selfishly or want to play selfishly. And a lot of fans want them to play selfishly. They don't want them to spread the ball around and hit a teammate with a good pass. I mean, a good thing about this series, Shane Battier has been in double figures almost, except last night, he'd been in double figures almost every game, and he's came to the forefront, and that's what you want. You want your reserves, your other starters, and then your guys off the bench to come in and give you a positive contribution.
Right. I mean, that. I think that pretty much sums it up right there. That's a great, you know, summary of it. I mean, there's a reason they call it a team sport. That's exactly it right there. And, you know, if you got one guy, and nowadays with technology and, you know, film and all that kind of stuff, I mean, if you got one guy that's trying to score all the points, I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out how to defend him. I mean, it doesn't take long. I mean, people are too smart. Okay, obviously this guy's going to be taking all the shots tonight. How do we defend him? Well, if he penetrates, we'll double-team him or whatever the case is. I mean, it's pretty easy to defend. So even if you get a lot of contribution from one guy, I mean, you know, the other team can defend that pretty well. And, you know, it with help defense, it's pretty easy to defend, and that's not going to win you any games. And clearly from last night, we saw, you know, that was easily seen from last night's game.
You know, when Michigan State first got their film session in their studios in, and they started filming all the games and the practices and such, like just about everybody does that today, but players at the beginning, they did not really like to go sit and watch film and look at themselves on tape or look at their other team's opponents on tape. They just wanted to go out and play. Well, you can't just do that anymore. You have to go watch film, and you have to really become adept at what the other team is doing in a game and such. So that's really helped the game somewhat, even though a lot of guys still, they follow it and they do it now, even though they don't really want to do it, but they do have to do it these days because it'll make them better and it'll make the teams better. But more guys are slowly but surely going into the film room and watching film of a practice or of a game.
Right, and I think, you know, I think football might even be a bigger, you know, case of that too. That, you know, you always hear about the players. I mean, I think they have days where they strictly are just film, where they go in and they watch film. I mean, it's amazing how many times, you know, a player will say, well, you know, after a game or something, if they win, someone will ask them a question, oh, well, how did you know he was going to do that or this and that? And the player will be like, well, I watched, you know, the film for the week and, you know, their previous games, and I know their tendencies and that kind of thing. And, you know, some people have sort of lashed back and said, well, you know, the film thing, yeah, that's great, but it kind of feels like it's cheating. Well, no, it's not really. It's just you're putting in more work than your opponent, and you're figuring out their tendencies, and, you know, everyone can – everyone who plays a professional sport has that opportunity to do that, whether that's up to you, whether or not you want to put in the time to figure out your, you know, what your opponent does the best, you know, that's completely up to you. But yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I think there's a lot of people who don't take advantage of it. Yeah, it is a lot of work, and it you know, takes time. I mean, to sit there and watch, you know, play after play, and, you know, probably have to slow it down and watch their tendencies and that kind of thing. Sure, that takes up a lot of time, but man, it's just one of those things that pays off in the end. So yeah, you're right. I think, especially in the college level, I think a lot of people don't want to, you know, especially in the college level, they got class and they got other responsibilities. That's understandable. But, you know, if you get the time to do it, it definitely pays off. That's for sure.
Exactly. It can help you prepare and get better. Especially if you've got pro aspirations, certainly it's going to help you a lot. But so many guys, they think they're still going to make it in the pros, even if they don't do a lot of film watching. Work and such, and I find that interesting. You have so many people out there that don't like to do it, even though they know and we know how essential and how valuable it can be.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if you look at it another way too, is I mean, they might think it as, okay, I'm just going in there just to learn about this player or my tendencies or whatever. But if you look at it another way too, there's probably other things that they can take from it that they probably didn't even realize they could take from it. Maybe you know, they learn you know, other tendencies that they didn't know about themselves, you know, whatever the case is, there's probably things they pick up along the way, whether it's, you know, just basic basketball smarts or football smarts or whatever sport you'd be doing. There's probably other things you pick up that you didn't even think you were going to pick up when you go into the film room. So, I mean, there's probably lots of bonuses to it, and sometimes maybe they don't realize that. And but like I said, it is a lot of work, but it's part of the game now, and I think a lot of sports are going to continue to improve on that, especially with, you know, the fact that we have now HD cameras are pretty much taken over the sporting world. I mean, the fact that with HD cameras you're able to, you know, zoom in farther, get more detail and that kind of stuff, it's much, much easier to really analyze film and get all the fine details. It's definitely helpful for a lot of players.
Yeah, and so let me ask you this. I mean, we've talked about a lot of things, but how do you think that players should go about of getting film and getting better, aside from getting out and practicing, which we know a lot of guys like to do on their own, getting better? So basically I want to know, what do you think it's going to take for Oklahoma to get back in the series trailing 3-1? Can they win? They have to win tomorrow night. What do you think they have to do?
Well, they can't have Westbrook scoring all the points. That's one thing. I mean, they just gotta play their game, play what you know they did during the regular season, and then do what they've been doing up to this point. I mean, you know, which I think is they were a team that was kind of like Miami last night. You know, that they shared the ball. They got a lot of players on that team that can score points. They don't need one guy to show up. You know, Westbrook, you know, I know they're a young team, but they got to realize that they got to share the ball. Other people have to touch the ball, and other people have to score points. I mean, I think they just kind of need to be like Miami was last night. I mean, that's the reality of things. You know, but they also got to, you know, keep themselves in check a little bit. You know, they can't get, you know, too excited. They can't get out of control. They have to run their offense. They have to make sure they're playing good, solid defense. I mean, they just have to stick to their basics and play what they know and play what they do best. I mean, they can't try too hard. They can't, you know, go outside their comfort zone just because they're in desperation mode. But if they play their game, I mean, they clearly won one game. And if they play that style of game, I think they'll be fine. So if they just stick to what they know and what their game plan is, you know, they could possibly win it. But like I said, I still think Miami wins it. But, you know, if they want a chance to win, that's what they're going to have to do.
Yes, I mean, that you're right. They've got a lot of challenges ahead of them. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So, I mean, like even though neither one of us give Oklahoma much of a chance to come back. I mean, I guess the fighting chance, because they played well. I mean, this series could easily be 3-1 the other way, the way this series has unfolded. But Miami Heat and LeBron James has taking it. He wants to get it done, and so he's playing like he wants to get it done. He is the leader of this team, and he's playing like a leader, and he's showing good leadership skills, and he's in the driver's seat right now. And I got a feeling you're going to see the best of LeBron James in that Game 5 series coming up.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Assuming that I'm not sure what's where his injury stands. I don't think it's too much of a problem. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be fine by the next game he's going to play regardless. I mean, he'll fight through it anyway. But yeah, you're right. I think he's just too focused. I mean, like I said before, he's been here before, and maybe he's obviously learned from his mistakes that, you know, there's certain things he has to keep in check, and he's learned how to keep those in check, and he's learned that he doesn't need to do it by himself anymore, that he's got other players that are, you know, more than capable to get the points, to, you know, get the buckets that they need. So, you know, I'm in agreement with you. I think he's focused. I think he's determined. And I think he'll pull it off, and he'll be the leader on, you know, the next game. We got a caller coming in.
Okay. And that's the thing. Too many players in basketball, they want to take the game on their shoulders. They want to take it and win it by themselves. And you really can't win a game by yourself. You need your teammates and everybody involved. But so many guys like to take it on their shoulders and just win the game themselves. And sometimes you can help, and that'll do the right thing for you. That'll give people the right help. But sometimes you just got to do the opposite and let your teammates, and have faith in your teammates that they can get the job done. And if everybody has that same kind of mentality, they're going to have faith and believe in their teammates. That helps you. It'll go a long, long way. Hey, call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We got one caller on the line, so let's go to the phones and let's see who we're going to be talking with. Hello. Hello. How you doing?
Good. How you feel?
Okay.
Listen, I wanted to call and make a statement about the way the NBA is being played this year. I think it's a fabulous series. I think there's a new age of point guards coming out right now.
Yes.
Exemplified by Russell Westbrook. I just think it's a different era. And I think the way the games are being played right now, I couldn't be happier to see the way things are going. I think there's parity in the NBA. You don't know. These two teams may not even be there next year. Mm-hmm. And I think you can see this trend of those kind of guards with the Russell Westbrook coming into the play in the near future, with the guys that are coming out of school right now in college. And for one, I think really we have one in Michigan, at Michigan State, our point guard right now. But we have to be in a position to let him flourish into that kind of setting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you see it that way, but I think Keith Appling is that kind of guy. But if you try to mold him into a one-dimensional guard or say, all I want you to do is set it up and be
a facilitator?
To be in a position where he just sets it up and runs as a prototype point guard, mm-hmm. I think that's going to restrict his game. I think if they go ahead and just take the reins off of him, and really let him probe and attack as a Russell Westbrook, I think people will see the true greatness in this guy that we have at Michigan State also.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, with one guy, and thanks for the call too, Steve. With the one guy, you know, you're looking for a guy who's going to be a shoot first point guard, and that's what the NBA game is turning to, a shoot point first guard, first pass second. And yes, that would help him, but I wouldn't be able to say honestly if that's the best thing to do. But you know, if he can become a better shooter, and he has to become a better shooter. Everyone that is a starter should be at least be a decent shooter. And so Keith Appling, he was a great shooter in high school. He had to learn to be a point guard, and he's learning all to get everybody else involved. Well, hey, I want to thank you all for calling. Thank you all for listening. And come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio. AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2:00 right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, We ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.